It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. We have about 17 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Today in our marine weather forecast, we have west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and northwest swells 3 feet at 7 seconds. And you can see the effect of the local winds, which create those wind waves, and then in conjunction with that, we always have that second set of sort of factors out there. That is the swells coming in from further out to sea. And they're most often coming from some version of the west because those swells have come all the way across the Pacific Ocean, sometimes as far away as Japan, from weather happening on the sort of the other side of the world, so to speak, and traveling all the way across the ocean. That energy gets transferred into the ocean thousands of miles away, and it moves all the way across the ocean here to the Pacific Northwest. So we sort of have a combination of old energy and new energy, if you want to think of it that way, arriving in our area. And sometimes those forces oppose one another. If we have, say, west swells coming up from way far away, arriving on our shore, and then we have east winds, those two things are in opposition to one another. And when the waves and the wind are in opposition to one another, it makes the waves higher. You can see that effect very easily out here on the river. When there is a strong ebbing tide sometimes, when there's a west wind, that you'll see white caps out there. And other times when the wind and the waves are going in the same direction, the water will appear very calm, even though the water in the Columbia River is rarely truly calm, except maybe at the actual turn of the tide for a moment. You might say the river stops for a second, but there's always a lot of movement going on out there one way or another. But the turbulence on the surface of the water, those white caps that you sometimes see, those are caused by friction from the wind going against the direction of the current. That's often what is causing it. So interesting sort of cause and effect that we see every day here right in front of our eyes on the river and in the ocean. Let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule, and then we're going to be talking about economies of scale and how some really interesting statistics about how much barges, for instance, can carry compared to, say, trucks on the road. I just love these statistics. It really gives you an idea of that the water here, the river, is a highway, and it is quite an economical highway for moving cargo from one place to another. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. First of all, let's take a look at our ship schedule. We have one inbounder. We have nine between our two anchorages here in the Astoria area. We have seven outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our only arrival on the schedule so far is the Tug C-SPAN Raider. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, and she's headed for the fuel docks in Astoria. But what she may be doing is she may have come down from British Columbia with a barge, which she then transferred to another barge, a U.S. flag tug, in the waters off Hammond and Warrenton. And then she may be going to pick up a barge off of the waterfront here that's anchored. So if you see a barge anchored there, it's waiting for this tug to come pick it up and take it back out to sea. It's a kind of a handoff of one cargo to another vessel that happens here sometimes with tugs and barges. And so those tugs are coming down. Often they have lime. So if you see a white powdery substance, that's lime on the in the barge itself. But kind of interesting. And so we have that fuel dock here that makes Astoria very appealing for vessels coming down the coast. You can come into the river, you know, a couple of hours of travel, you can get to fuel and then go back out and go on your way. In our Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront, we have the Bali. She's a bulk carrier headed to Longview to pick up wheat. She left about 2 o'clock this morning, so maybe 5:30 this morning she arrived in Longview to pick up wheat. The Omicron Atlas is headed for Kalama today at about 2 p.m. to pick up wheat. She'll be there in about 5 hours later in Kalama to go to a berth there. The Nord Biscay, the Agia Skeppy, and the Proteus are all awaiting orders in the waters off the downtown waterfront in Astoria. At the Rice Island anchorage, which is a little bit upriver from Tongue Point on the Washington side, the Scythia Graeca, the BLC First, the Star Amber, and the Boga Inda are awaiting orders there. In our outbounders, we have the Star Loen. She's leaving Longview. Could be logs on board there around 2 p.m., so maybe 5:30 or so outbound past Astoria. The Chemtex Honor is leaving Kalama. Could be corn, soy, or wheat on board there. Leaving around 2:30, maybe about 7:30 past Astoria outbound. The ATB Sound Reliance is leaving Portland at about 2:30. She's carrying refined petroleum. so that would put her past Astoria about 8:30 p.m. outbound. The Precious Ace is leaving Vancouver at about 2:30 with Subarus on board. She's a car carrier, so she'd pass Astoria also around 8:30 in the evening. But those ships, as I said yesterday, are very, very carefully spaced apart, so a couple miles at least between them for safety purposes. So what could happen? Well, sometimes ships just have engine problems. An engine will quit. And with a ship, it isn't really a matter of just turning the key and starting it. It's kind of a process you have to go through to restart a ship's engine. And so sometimes emergencies happen. They're rare. But the ships and the pilots are always prepared and looking ahead and thinking it through so that they're anticipating anything that could possibly go wrong. The Atlantic Glory is leaving Kalama. She probably has weed on board, leaving about 5 p.m., so maybe 10 p.m. outbound you'll see her or her running lights. The Summer Sky is leaving Portland around 6 p.m. from the port of Portland with potash on board, so maybe around midnight you might see her running lights passing Astoria. The Clipper Bliss is leaving the port of Astoria with soda ash on board, used to make automotive glass. Leaving around 11 p.m., that would put her past Astoria about 5 a.m. tomorrow. Well, we're talking about ships, but right now I want to talk with you about barges. Barges are among the unsung heroes, sort of the river, because they go by all the time. The ships are a little bit flashier looking, perhaps maybe more of the romance of the sea about a ship. But tugs and barges are the workhorses of the river system. They carry cargo from way upriver as far as Lewiston, Idaho, down the Snake River system to Portland and Vancouver, where their cargoes are often put on ships and taken elsewhere, taken to Asia and other places where ships go when they leave the Columbia. So tug and barge traffic is a big part of the commerce chain here that is part of how we move goods around the world. So I thought it would be interesting to share some information that I found from the Waterways Council, waterwayscouncil.org. It's all about the title of this page. You can find it as a PDF online, is Barges Pull Their Weight. One common barge now carries the load of hundreds of rail cars or trucks. As a mode of transportation, inland waterways have the capacity to transport today's bulk commodities, which are a lot of those dry and raw materials that we have on the Columbia, and are prepared to accommodate cargo diverted from overcrowded highways and railways. So if you have, say, a barge carrying a dry cargo like corn or wheat or something like that, is equal to 16 rail cars and 70 semi-trucks. A barge that is carrying liquid, like, say, petroleum, one barge, is equal to 46 rail cars and 144 semi-trucks. One loaded, covered hopper barge carries enough wheat for 2.5 million loaves of bread, and a loaded tanker barge carries enough to fuel 2,500 automobiles running for an entire year. So pretty amazing statistic there. We don't see tows with, say, as big here as you do in places like the Mississippi River, where you might have a barge with 15 barges. But a 15 barge tow, which is typical in some places, 216 rail cars, 1,000 large semi tractor trailer trucks. So it sort of gives you an idea of how economical barge traffic really is, and how much of our stuff is moved with relatively little pollution compared to what it would be if all those trucks were carrying that. So an interesting fact about marine transportation. You're listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.